Welcome everyone. We're about to begin with Hashem Shir for Women, Shir number 68. In Wisdom Each Day by Rabbi Tversky, he says from a Gemara Yuma that there's a saying that says that in two measures of dates, there are more than a measure of pits, which means like this. When you buy dates, if there's a full knowledge that there's a lot in the dates, in the weight of it, in the volume of it, that you're going to reject. You know, they do sell sometimes dates that are already pitted, but generally you're paying by weight and the date has pits in them and they're pretty big pits and you're paying for the pits that you will throw out too. Why do we do this? Because we enjoy the dates enough to accept the pits that come along with them. And that is a very, very important yesod in life. He says, unfortunately, we don't apply this kind of thinking to relationships with people. And very often we avoid people because they have a particular character trait that we don't like. So they have many, many admirable qualities which should endear them to us and we can learn from. But we reject the whole person because of something about them that may annoy us. Unfortunately, we do this, husbands to wives to husbands as well. They have beautiful qualities and we know they do. But there's something, certain aspects, the kinegdai aspect that we're different, that bothers us, and then we discard the whole personality and judge them harshly. So we have to be truthful. When we buy dates, we don't even think about the pits. We think about the sweet taste of that, especially if you enjoy that type of food. The idea that Rabbi Melech of Lezhensk composed a tefillah before Shachris, where he davened Hashem to help Shayira Malas Chavereinu, to see the virtues of people and not their defects. Or the way we put it, let us see and appreciate the dates, not the pits. To see the virtues in people, not their defects. Sometimes we may be motivated to see another person's defect because it gives our ego a boost. We may think of ourselves to be better than they are because they have those faults. How do you avoid this type of mental thinking? By building our self-esteem. There's no need to disparage others in order to think better of ourselves. I'm going to repeat that line. There's no need to disparage others in order to think better of ourselves. So that is one of the first lesson in this particular shir. He brings the story of Rabbi Shaya Karastira that he was known with his Ahavas Yisrael to help Eden one Rosh Hashanah before the sounding of the shofar. He closed himself up in the in his study. Most thought that he was thinking about Kabbalistic secrets about shofar and making Yehudim. Someone managed to look through a keyhole to see what exactly Rishayla was doing. And to their great surprise, he was preparing refreshments. He was preparing food for the Olam that would be hungry at the end of the service. He was planning on making Kiddush and having the people there eat something. It's known by him that a local postmaster that was by the Levaya, he said, and he wasn't even Jewish, that he handled the mail, and he knew that this Reb Shaila would send money through the mail to many hundreds of poor families all over the country, that he gave more money than he could possibly have received, which means that with Mesiras Nefesh, he gave that money. So you hear, this is another lesson to recognize how great people that, yes, of course, the Dveikus in Hashem, your own self work, but the idea of caring for others. Another big yesod is that regarding children, the attitude towards children. And there are many children of non-observant parents that are attracted to Torah. In some instances, the parents, to their credit, I've seen this, do not show any sign of displeasure. Although they didn't change their way of life, they respect their children's choice. But in other cases, there's a major upheaval and the parent would disown the child. What's the difference between the two? The difference is because in the second case, when the child changed his choice or her choice, the parent felt it as a rejection in their values. Your actions as a child means that I am not good enough as a parent, that I failed as a parent. So the disapproval of the parent is not because they really disapprove their child's new lifestyle as destructive. They may think it is, you know, because they're not from anymore as much, or so on and so forth, but it's more because it offends their ego. Sometimes you have it in the reverse case too. What about a parent's attitude when a child deviates from Yiddishkeit? Let's say your child deviates from Yiddishkeit. And why is the parent disapproving? Is the parent disapproving because they truly believe that deviating from Torah observance is harmful to the child? Then they're sincerely concerned about the child. But what if, deep down, their prime concern is, what is people going to think of us? What are they going to think of me as a parent if my child goes on this path? And that is self-centered. So it's difficult. No one's saying it's not difficult. But it is very important to understand that balance. We're not here. Our children are not here to give us nachas. They are sent to us to help us, to guide them, and to help them and to support them. So it's very, very important to recognize that. We don't own our children. We could influence. We could daven to Hashem to help us with our chinuch of them. But however they turn out, we need to accept it. Help them in every way possible. Another idea, just in general, he gives good advice on not guaranteeing a loan to anyone. Otherwise, you'll be trapped. It's Psukim and Mishlei in the beginning of Perek Vav. That although it is healthy to extend yourself liberally, you have money, you should lend money. It's a mitzvah to lend money to the needy. Even if you're at risk of losing it, but you know it's a sacrifice, you could do it, but not to a point where it gives you extra anxiety. You understand? So if you have to, if you're being pushed to guarantee a loan, you don't guarantee a loan unless you know you're ready to lose that money, and that'll be considered tzedakah. If there's an anxiety that the borrower will be unable to pay, and if they don't pay, you will have to do so, and you'll receive a call that you have to pay, and if you don't pay, a judgment will go against out to you. And when that happens, you may not have money to pay. That's a situation beyond your control. So there, if you ask a shaila, many times they will tell you, a rav will paskin for you, no, don't lend the money or don't be a guarantee on this loan. So the idea of this concept of how and what to give tzedakah, you need to ask a shaila, because, you know, the Rambam talks about the different personalities in Hilchus Deis, and sometimes being overly miserly is unhealthy, like sick bites, right? You have that something holding you back from giving tzedakah, not recognizing it's a pikadin, but at the same time, you have to be with a certain degree of cautiousness. So that is a very important aside. So the chacham, eza chacham arayas anoylet, that's the idea. A person has to be wise and see the effects of what you do. So the lessons to review what we learned today is with the first one is a very fundamental yesod. When you buy the dates, know you're buying the pits too. You have people that have admirable good qualities that endear you to them. Learn from that. Don't reject the whole person because they have certain things that may annoy you. And look at their milus and not their chesreinos. You learn from the story of Roshaya Karastiro about a Havas Yisrael and helping people, true Avaydus Hashem, in the healthy aspect of when you're being mechanech a child, to make sure you're doing it not because they're an extension of you and because it's your ego when they reject your values, but rather to look at the L'shem Shemayim as much as possible with it and guide them and help them and watch them and protect them as best as possible. And the idea of asking a shaila pertaining to money matters. Very often, yes, we could be overly selfish and we have to break our nature and give tzedakah more. And that's, for many of us, an assayin that we hold back giving more tzedakah than we really should and we have to be more giving. But the reverse could also be true, where someone's pressuring you to guarantee a loan and it's a lot of money and you'll be anxious about it, and you taka would be in a financial difficulty if that person defaults on it, then you ask a shaila before guaranteeing such a loan. There's dini mamonis too. There's erlichkeit with everything. There's Torah for everything. So that is the idea behind everything. But again, I'm just going to go for the third time back to the first point. Rav Melech's tefillah. Help me see the virtues in people, not their defects. And when you're able to do that, and when you're able to see their milos, you're able to see their milos, then even when there's defects, you are melamed zchus. You can even get to have it channeled the right way. This is such a true thing. And the first one is your own spouse, your own husband, or when I'm talking to the men, your own wife. Look at their milos. Don't always focus on the pits. Look at the dates. Look at the all the wonderful things that they do for you. And bring that up and accentuate it. And very often that is the idea. The focus on the positivity brings out this tremendous kaychais hanefesh, this potential to bring out more and more good as we go along. Bracha v'atzlacha.